What makes for a great vacation? Depends on who you ask. Are you looking to get away? Or bring everyone together? Do you want to get outside and play? Or see a play at the plate? Fortunately, however you operate, I'm the destination you've been looking for. The name's Missouri, but you can call me Mo. And I have just one question. What's your MO? Come see me at visitmo.com.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Married to Reality. I'm your co-host, John, here with my wife and co-host. Thank goodness this isn't video because she's currently wearing workout clothes without a necklace. It's the one and only Teresa.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? Gino's trying to tell Jasmine what to wear. Just cracked me up. Gino telling Jasmine to wear a necklace with workout clothes was just... No.
I appreciate that he's taking his role as manager seriously, though.
A little too seriously.
Well, show a little respect. Put a little jewelry on once in a while when you go to the gym.
I mean, I can put my mind behind like a earrings or if it's a necklace you'd never take off. But it's kind of gross when you sweat and it can be dangerous.
I don't think Gino has the greatest grasp or knowledge of jewelry.
Oh, he does
so,
not.
So I think it's better than if he said like, oh, put like an ankle bracelet on or something. I think he just went for necklace and Jasmine rightfully put him in his place.
I think he was just trying to have a say.
He was trying to be a manager, I think. A lot of times you take on this new role. I think he gave himself that role, but whatever, he wanted to fulfill this make-believe role, and he thought, what would Joe Jackson do? What would Ike Turner do?
Who's Joe Jackson?
The genius behind the Jackson 5. Michael and Tito and Father Jackson.
Okay.
And before we start writing letters, I know these are all evil people. That's the joke. But he's saying, what would these managers do? Mm. And they would tell their talent what to do. And that's what he was doing. Hey, put a necklace on, sugar tits, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Gino definitely dive into this role a little too much, but we'll talk about it.
Well, he's unemployed. He's got nothing better to do.
Yeah, I think
time.
he should find a job within his expertise.
Not this one.
Not this one.
No. Okay. We'll talk about that, all that and more. Before we do, real quick, a little business. If you guys don't know, well, we're on Patreon and Supercast. Over there, we're talking about Love in Paradise. That season is coming to a close, sadly. But what it's
today.
Today. Tonight will be the final episode of that season. But what it's being replaced with, I couldn't be more excited. It's The Other Way.
Woohoo!
So we've been covering Love in Paradise on Patreon and Supercast. We'll be replacing that with The Other Way. If you want to hear our thoughts on all of that and more, join us on Patreon and Supercast. Patreon.com/MarriedToReality. MarriedToReality.Supercast.com. At the Cousins Club level, you get those episodes. At the Family Affair level, you get those episodes plus a video version, as well as a monthly bonus.
Yes.
Of course, it's all ad-free on Patreon and Supercast. On Patreon, you get access to the chat. It's a good time, so check it out if you want more content. Patreon and Supercast. Also, make sure you're following us on Instagram, at Married to Reality Pod. You can call in over there.
Mm-hmm.
Share your thoughts. Tell us what you think about this season, about anything reality TV related and more. We want to talk to you guys, and you can talk to us on Instagram, at Married to Reality Pod.
Yes.
Also, make sure you're following the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Just look down and smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's as hot as Emily's wedding outfit and hair. She looked great.
Who?
Emily.
Oh, Emily.
Well, what did you hear?
I thought you said Annalie.
No.
Remember Clayton and Annalie?
Barely.
Yeah.
Emily looked fabulous. I loved the hair. I loved the outfit.
Right,
it was traditional, yeah. But she was pulling it off.
She showed up.
Yeah.
She showed up. We'll talk about that. I mean, David, still the star of any show.
I mean,
and
David
Kobe.
Really put himself in the draw and amazing.
Yes. So smash like it's as hot as the entire wedding party. And last but not least, if you haven't left the review, you guys know we're suckers for a little love. If you leave a 5-star review and you write something, we'll read it on this podcast for everyone to hear.
Yes.
All right. That is the business. Before we get into this episode, episode 15, what do you say we do a little 90-day by the way?
Let's hear it. We got a few tips from our friends as usual. So thank you to all the detectives who sent me all the tea. And sometimes I share it with John.
You should always share it with me.
I do. But you also lurk in the background, so.
I'm always lurking. Yeah. So thank you guys for sharing. I don't know if I can attribute any of these stories to anyone specific, but all right. Thank you, as always, for sharing. So by the way, number one, no surprise, there's new drama surrounding Angela. I don't know if you've caught wind of this.
No, but please tell me.
Okay, well, a few days ago, she went on the Drew Barrymore talk show.
What? She was on Drew Barrymore?
Yeah.
Angela?
Yeah.
Oh.
The one and only.
I love Drew Barrymore, by the way.
Do you? Well, a lot of people are pissed at her.
I know, because of the whole protest thing of...
No.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about here. A lot of people are pissed at Drew because Angela was on the show.
Oh, well, a lot of people are pissed at her a couple months ago when the actors were, or the writers were on
strike. Yeah.
Yeah, she put, I think she still did her show or something like that.
Mm.
And people got pissed, but I still love her.
Got it. Well, she's ruffling feathers for a different reason this time. She had Angela on the show.
What?
You may remember a couple years ago, Darcy and Stacey were on the show promoting their,
mm-hmm.
their series. Well, for whatever reason, she had Angela on this past week. And I don't even know why. It doesn't make sense to me because this season seems like it's in the middle, if not towards the end. So why have someone come on now to promote it unless maybe viewership is down?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But she goes on the show. And as soon as the 90-day community caught wind, they snapped into action because, look, we know a lot of you guys dislike Angela. A lot of you guys call for her cancellation or for TLC to ban her from the show. And TLC doesn't listen. Okay. We keep getting Angela shoved down our throats for better or worse. Well, CBS kind of bended to the mob and they still filmed the segment and they aired it mm-hmm. live. Or whenever they aired it. But then when the 90-day community raised their voices, CBS responded and took down the clips off social media, took down the interview off YouTube.
What?
So like completely scrubbed basically the association with Angela.
What was the interview about?
Maybe she
was being classy Angela.
She's being classy. So here's the deal. There's a YouTuber, Your Wet Sock, and he talks a lot about reality TV and 90 Day Fiancé, and he put up a video about this Angela interview, and he has clips from it, and maybe he set his DVR for when it aired originally, and he's got some clips from it, and you can just see it's classic Angela. It's gross. It's crass. She loves the big, bold persona, and she's not shying away from it on this show. Mm. And I think people were upset just for her even being there. And then, of course, her just being her brash self didn't help.
I don't understand why people were upset about Angela being on Drew Barrymore. I understand how people are upset with Angela in general because it's Angela, right? Whether we love her or hate her or love to hate her, like myself. Yeah, I mean, it's Angela. But why are you mad that she was on a different show?
Because they don't want her on this show. They don't want her on 90 Day. And now they're saying, oh, you're platforming an abuser, which it's true. I mean, we see video of her. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my gosh.
I watched what I could from the Your Wet Sock YouTube. And
maybe we should have a more fun name of our podcast.
And you can see some of the clips that Drew aired on the segment. And it was like her in Nigeria yelling at Michael, tearing his car apart. And it's like, oh, yeah, this really isn't someone we should be celebrating.
True.
And financially controlling Michael and hearing about, oh, yeah, he can't work in Nigeria for himself. I have to be the one to fund his life. Like, it's not good. And so people are pissed that, oh, you're promoting this type of behavior.
Okay, gotcha. Drew should have had Michael on the show.
True.
People are calling for Michael to be on The Single Life, which I would love. I think Angela would probably start like killing TLC producers one by one if that happened.
Yeah, we would see more video of her wrestling people in hotel lobbies.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. So there you go. If you guys are interested, you can track down a little bit of the footage on YouTube. But all right.
That's
what's going on with Angela these days. So, by the way, number two, as most of us know, the new season of The Other Way starts next week. And I realize we haven't talked about the new cast yet.
Not in detail. No, we haven't. Let's hear it.
Yeah, we've sort of done a cursory talk, but we have two returning couples.
And, I know.
And four new couples.
I love new couples too.
Okay, well, let's start with the returning and Teresa's favorite, Statler and Dempsey. So we know them from a past season. Statler from Texas, Dempsey from England.
England.
They're about to embark on a van life adventure this season, which kind of interests me.
Okay.
Although the last time we all collectively as a country tuned into a van life story, it didn't end well.
That's true.
So I don't think this one ends well either, but I don't think it ends as bad as that one. But so Dempsey plans their new life on the road, living in the van. Statler becomes overwhelmed and starts doubting the decision. Then once the couple starts to make their way through Europe, Statler's anxiety begins to bubble over. And it's obvious this adventure might not turn out so spectacular after all. So that's the storyline for them.
Mm-hmm. Plus, back to your by the way from last week, Statler made some claims about Dempsey stealing the van or abusing her.
That was not a by the way. We just chatted about that on the Patreon episode.
Oh, okay. Well, I saw it on social media too.
Yeah. So there you go. That's number one. The second and my favorite.
Oh.
The second returning couple. Shekinah of California and Sarper.
Sarper.
From Turkey. So after being back in the U.S. for 3 months, Shekinah is making her move to Turkey with Sarper, and they need to resolve some issues. However, women from Sarper's past start to reach out to Shekinah, and that makes her question some things.
Oh.
So let's see how that works out for them.
Imagine if you get 2,500 messages from all the ladies he banged.
Change your number. All right, then we got some new couples.
All right.
We love new couples. And some new countries and some new states.
Let's hear it.
Josh from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Lily from China.
All right.
They met on a language learning app.
Classic.
Fell in love. So much so that they got married. And Josh decided to quit his job in America and move to China. Lily is a successful business owner, believes Josh is her dream guy, but he's not able to work in China She's the sole income earner. So they start to argue and disagree over finances, and that becomes a major issue for them.
Classic.
I'm in.
If they're married, he should get some sort of a work permit or...
I don't know how it works in China, but yeah, maybe it takes some time.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm invested.
Me too.
Joanne from New York and Sean from Ireland.
Okay. Ireland.
Already secretly married. Joanne and Sean decide they need to physically be together in Ireland, where Sean lives, so that they can create a home base. But before Joanne can even begin thinking about moving to Ireland, she needs the approval of who? Her two sons, whom she is finally bringing to meet Sean. Things take a turn in Ireland, and they get pulled in multiple directions to deal with strains that have been caused by this secret marriage.
Interesting.
Again, I'm in. All right. Let's keep it going. Corona from Pennsylvania. And I'm going to butcher this name. Ingi from Iceland.
Ooh. Probably Inga.
Everyone's excited about Iceland. So
is Corona a man?
Corona is a midwife in training.
So Corona is probably a woman.
And Ingi is, I think, the Viking man. So they met following a night partying in Iceland. Corona is a midwife in training. She decides to move to Iceland to be with her Viking, even if that means giving up her spot in a prestigious midwifery program. Once she arrives, Corona quickly realizes her hot romance may be a little too icy for her.
Ooh.
They've got limited dating experience, coupled with the fact that Corona may not be able to study for midwifery in Iceland. So she needs to make this decision. Do I stay in Iceland or do I return to the U.S. for my career?
Interesting.
And I'm sure you're going to be beautiful as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And last but certainly not least, James from Maine.
Ooh, my favorite state.
Yeah. The only one syllable state.
Is it?
Try to think of another.
I can't.
That's it. Only one syllable state, Maine.
Oh, that's my dream state.
All right, Maine. And so James from Maine, Matalia from Indonesia.
Oh.
Married for 2.5 years after meeting online. They've been living together in Maine. But Matalia is homesick and has been dealing with some health issues. And decides with James that she needs to move back to Indonesia to be with her family. James struggles with this because he's got a tight-knit family in Maine. But once they move to Indonesia, that's when the trouble really starts.
Classic, but I'm here for it.
So here for it.
That sounds awesome.
I'm very excited. It premieres Monday, July 1st. And as we've said, we will be covering it on the Patreon and Supercast, starting at the Cousins Club level.
Woohoo!
All right. Get excited, people. That is that. Now, for the real reason we are here. Sunday night, 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After,
question mark,
Season 8, Episode 15.
Ooh.
Let's start with Gino and Jasmine.
Yes, it's time to head back to Florida to participate in the pageant.
Did you pack your shoes? I see they want a lot of different shoes. Did you pack your toothbrush?
You'll be up against professionals, so, like, make sure you're good enough. Who is he?
That's good advice. That's great coaching right there. Just make sure you're good enough. How about, like, some tips and tricks?
He doesn't have them. He thinks that when he signed up for Mr. Michigan, whatever that was, he knows it all.
It was more of an informational interview than anything. I wasn't really going to do it. I just wanted to see what was going on around here.
I mean, I won a pageant when I was in my breathing camp.
You guys may not know this, but you're listening to the winner of the, 1999's?
No, I was like...
2003 Miss Breathing Camp, Czechoslovakia.
Czech Republic,
get it right.
Yes. Yeah. I wish I could describe breathing camp better. It's almost like a spa, but you go for, I think I went there for 4 months. I went to school there too. And I just focused on breathing because I had breathing issues.
Yeah.
It's for kids with breathing issues, and that was a group of obese kids.
When they crowned you Miss Breathing Camp, did they say, oh, Teresa, you took our... No. Let me get my joke out.
Okay, okay.
Gosh. Teresa, you've taken our breath away.
Ooh, they should have.
We now crown you Miss Breathing Camp.
They should have.
What sort of talents do you display? Because I'm guessing singing is
I
not...
I did sing. And I danced.
That's just mean.
I did sing and dance with an umbrella. It was a song from this chick movie. It's about like dancing in the rain, but not the song you're thinking of. It's a Czech song. But yeah, it's a little dance. I had two girls dancing with me. I recruited.
Was it co-ed?
What does it mean?
Boys and girls?
No, it was just for girls.
Just for girls. Good. Because I was worried you were going to have some young Czech boy trying to be your manager. Especially once you won.
No, yeah, it was wild. I was like, oh my gosh.
It's your meal ticket.
Yeah.
Look at you. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Do we have any photos of this? Because I feel like I've seen you showing dogs before.
I mean, this is before phones.
Before cameras made it to check?
No, but it's like, it was just for the kids. I don't think there were anyone taking photos. Maybe somewhere. I'm not sure. But it's not like, we don't have phones. I didn't think I'd get a phone until I was like 14.
Got it. Okay. Well, let's make our way to Florida. It's pretty spectacular how much money they're spending on Florida travel. For a guy who's worried about money and who doesn't have a job, they've gone to Florida 19 times over the last two seasons.
True, but I feel like they're flying out of Detroit. I'm pretty sure it's a large hop going to Miami. It might be a direct flight. You can probably go on like a Frontier or a Spirit. I don't think that's going to be that expensive.
All right, fair enough. But once you're there, it's hotels and whatnot.
True, Miami is expensive.
It seems like a lot of money. But okay, they get there and right into rehearsals, Jasmine goes. None of these other women had managers.
No. Did you see? Like Jasmine walked in and she's like, hi, Miss Panama. And Gino followed her and was like, hello. And no one paid attention to them like at all.
Yeah, I feel like it must have been a play cool situation because they're being followed by a camera crew.
Yeah, true.
So I think everyone was trying to play it cool.
Well, all of the ladies are welcome to the 2023 Miss International World Pageant. Mm. Isn't that what Natalie participated in? But I think that was Mrs.
I don't know, but it's also a little redundant. International world? Is that correct?
I think, well, there are other pageants. And I think there is Miss International probably somewhere.
Okay.
Or Miss World, obviously. That's like the most prestigious.
Sure. Well, so no, that's come Universe. Up with something else. I think it's Miss Universe.
Is it?
Yeah. That's the one
Miss
I tuned
world.
Into.
No, Miss Universe. The Czech girl just won.
Which pageant? Not Mrs. International.
The most prestigious one that's like actually the most beautiful girls from each country's go to. And then, what is it? It's like
I think it's Miss Universe.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah, it's like the show.
All right. Czech won it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. So they start rehearsing. Gino's just in the audience. Again, not even the only manager in the room, the only man in the room.
Yes.
Just yelling out advice.
Smile, posture.
rolling your shoulders.
Well, that's not the only thing he does. He starts filming. And there's a part of me that I feel like it's okay. It's good to film. And so later on, you can take a look at your competition, right?
Exactly.
See what they do. So I don't think that was a bad thing that he filmed.
It's just... When the New York Jets film the Patriots practice, it's just not as, it feels a little less perverted than Gino sitting in the crowd filming the competition.
True. I mean, he should have mostly filmed Jasmine to like look at her, what she needs to improve.
Yeah.
But I think it's okay he filmed some of the other ladies as long as everyone else was like okay with that.
Right. Which... I don't know if they were, and I'd like to know what he did with those videos after the fact.
Well, the issue with this was that he looked like a creep.
Yeah.
Or like, he looked like, who are you, a dad of one of these girls? That's what he looked like.
That would be creepier. And not to dive too deep into that, but at least all of these women were of age. That would be a lot creepier. True. Dad sitting in the back filming.
True. Well, the ladies are, they're doing catwalk and all kinds of things. And then after, the coaches are giving them some advice. And Jasmine gets some notes that she's not thrilled about because it was something she needs to improve. I feel like a lot of women don't like to hear what they need to improve. But I think it's a good thing that someone pointed out for you now.
Yeah, it was Walina, last year's winner. And the feedback for Jasmine was definitely appropriate.
Yeah.
Work on your gracefulness.
I don't even know what it means, to be honest.
You don't know what gracefulness is?
Like, you're giving someone grace. Like, no. You're like, oh.
Well, that's just what they do on Married at First Sight.
So it's gracefulness.
Gracefulness. Like a ballerina is graceful.
Like the motion?
Yeah, the motion, the attitude, the way one carries themselves.
I've never heard that.
Let's look
I
it
thought
up.
She was just maybe giving people like a resting bitch face, so she wasn't being graceful.
That's part of it. That's definitely part of it. I hate these definitions. I'm like, define graceful. It's like, well, having or showing grace. Okay, well then define.
That's what I said.
I know, but define grace then. Simple elegance. Yeah, a refinement of movement.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, girls who are models, they know what to do, or they train to know what to do, right?
Yeah.
Like we all of us can try in the bathroom and it's really hard. I don't even do that. I just dance.
You just dance.
Yeah. But I mean, watching professional models, I'm like, damn, like I could not do it even if I tried.
It's a talent.
For a long time.
It's definitely a talent. So Gino also has some feedback for Jasmine.
He's like, your smiling was just fake.
You looked a little fake. Did you watch Walina when she was smiling? Look at me, actually. Here, look at me. Fake? Not fake.
Actually, let me show you. I taped all these women.
I videotaped some of the other girls' posture. Let me show you. People I felt had nice overall posture.
I mean, posture is important. I need to work on my posture, not to be a model, but because my back is killing me and I'm in my mid-30s and I feel like I'm 80.
Yeah, I really don't think it was that bad.
I don't think so either, but Jasmine, because she's so jealous, interpreted this as, oh my gosh, he filmed all these women so he can masturbate later.
Her response was perfect. She's like,
giving pervert vibes.
Yeah, Gino was giving pervert vibes. What is he going to use this video for? Is he going to use these to masturbate later?
I mean, before she said it, when he was filming, my note says, Gino looks like a perv. So I'm glad I wasn't the only one picking up on it.
Yeah, but then you realize he's the manager and he's got to do his managerial duties.
I mean, again, like nowadays with cell phones and stuff, you can easily film and then learn from your mistakes and improve. Like when you have like professional people playing sport, professional sports, like you film it and you look at it afterwards and you try to improve. So
yeah, you look at film, you look at game tape.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that upset Jasmine.
Yeah. She gets emotional once again, a classic, and she just wants him to support her.
But is that not support? Is that not supporting her in her dream? What does she want? Does she want Gino to just yes her and be like, you're the best? Or
I think so.
Does she want Gino to help her win? That's the real support, is I want you to win.
Well, I don't think Gino can help her win because he knows nothing. But I think he maybe wants her to, she wants him to give her a confidence to be like, baby, like you at the best. You smiled like a queen. You walked the runway like a cat. Like, I loved it. Here's a tape. But look, all these other losers, like you are the winner. I feel like that would like boost her up. Instead, he's like,
yeah, but it's false confidence.
It is false confidence, but I feel like Jasmine almost needs it.
Well, that's
like she's a beautiful woman, right? Somehow she's lacking confidence and is with Gino. And then Gino, Mr. Hat, is telling her that her smile is fake, her posture isn't good, and pointing out all these flaws. I'm sure it's hard for her.
It's an interesting point because the entire reason she's entering this pageant is to build her confidence.
Exactly.
And that's a good point. Gino could succeed in what she's trying to accomplish by just building her confidence on his own.
It's like you, like when I put on a nice dress I like and you tell me I look like Judge Judy.
Mm-hmm. I'm being
You're not really building my confidence.
But I'm supporting you in your quest to look your best. And so I say maybe we change. Maybe at the very least throw a necklace on.
All right.
All right. Shall we move on?
Let's move on to the fight, 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 fight.
What else
fight.
Is new?
Angela and
Michael.
We picked up where we left off. Angela, get me the phone. Get me the phone. Get me the phone.
Give me the phone. That's all I want. Yeah, the admin of Paradise Men just stole Angela's phone from her.
And Michael is like, enough is enough. And he grabs his stuff and he walks away. He's so angry that I don't think we've ever seen him this angry.
He's had enough. He's reached his wit's end. But here's the interesting part of it. So after he takes off, he goes, enough is enough. I don't care about the visa anymore. He didn't say, oh, I don't care about Angela anymore. Or I don't care about this relationship anymore. It was immediately, I don't care about the visa.
Of course, because, I mean, look at Angela. Like, she's been abusing him for 6+ years.
That's true. This is nothing new. He's callous to this at this point.
And it's like, I said it before. I think with her fame and the transition and the boobs and her losing weight, she got more and more aggressive and more vocal. And don't get me wrong. When we first met her, she was already nuts. But lately, she's been just, she built up a confidence for sure. And now she almost like doesn't give a shit. Like she thinks she's the queen.
She does. She, to do a callback to the Drew segment, she calls herself the queen on it. And I don't even think it's a physical transformation that gave her this confidence.
I think it's part of it.
Maybe part of it. I think it's just the longevity. Like at this point, she's probably the longest running cast member on 90 Day Fiancé, right?
Probably.
I mean, maybe a Lauren and Alexi.
I mean, she has like 800,000 plus followers. Like people, as I said, people love her. People hate her. People love to hate her. But people still want to know what she's up to.
Yeah. I just think she's been around for so long that with every season, she gets one more layer of invincibility. And she thinks, I can do whatever I want. I'm not going anywhere. And that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, like, when she was going through the transition, she got a boob, she lost the weight. Now she's sexy Mima, spelled S-E-K-S-I. I mean, yeah, but then you get these moments, like when Michael left and she's alone in the hotel, you see that, oh my gosh, like, she's not okay.
No, not at all.
She's not okay. She doesn't look healthy. She doesn't look happy. She looks distressed. She looks like she needs a big glass of water to begin with because she looks dehydrated.
Yeah, she's 57, which is crazy. If you said, oh, she's 77, I'd be like, okay. Like, I'd buy that.
It's because of her lifestyle and the dehydration. I seriously don't understand how she lives her life without drinking water. But I've learned from like a friend of mine that there are a lot of people who don't drink water, who just drink soda.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of people.
Like a lot of like older people, which is nuts to me.
Older people love Coca-Cola, Diet Coke.
Oh, yeah.
Crush it.
My mom drinks water, but my mom loves Coca-Cola. Like loves it.
Yeah. It's not good. It's not the best way to live your life.
No. I love a good ginger ale on the plane.
Sure.
Right? Settles I don't even know why, but it's good.
I think it's the most ordered beverage on a plane.
On the plane?
I believe so.
I do love the taste of ginger ale, but I try to drink it outside. Like whenever I wasn't on the plane, bought a bottle, let's say for a stomach.
Just hits differently.
It hits very differently. I don't like it. Yeah. I only like it on the plane in small doses.
It's like an Aperol spritz outside of Italy. What are you even doing?
That's very true. I told you I had an Aperol spritz a few weeks ago And it was good, but it wasn't Italian good.
No, of course. Mm. Context is everything.
Very true.
All right. So anyways, Michael, 3 hours later, comes back to the hotel. And Angela's like, all right, I'll hear you out. Tell me everything. Why are you in this group? What were all these messages about? I need to know.
And he tries to explain everything. So
I thought he did a pretty good job.
I think he did a pretty good job. And even to the last thing that he didn't have an explanation for, which is why was there a photo of an old lady saying, oh, who she's looking for a husband.
Yeah.
He said, well, that was a joke.
That was just a joke. but the way he set it up of even why he was a part of this group, why he was a member, a leader, his reasoning was, well, I want us to be together as soon as possible. So I was in this group to get information. And I'm like, whether that's true or not, that is exactly what you needed to say. Because it plays to her insecurity of, oh, you don't want to be with me. That's why you're in this group. It's like, no, I'm in this group because I want to be with you ASAP.
Yeah, so Angela started asking about like why and this and this and that. And Michael basically said, well, I felt lonely, so I joined the group chat. Because I wanted to know as much as I possibly could, which makes sense because I always talk about me being in some of these groups, like Czech and Slovak women on Facebook, which this one's pretty good. I don't really post, but I read. But there is also Czechs and Slovaks in Florida. That group is just out of control.
Even though we gave a TV to a guy in it.
Well, there was a nice young student. Yeah. He was actually nice.
Okay.
But for example, the Czech and Slovak women, most of them are moms, right? A lot of them struggle with whatever. But let's say when we were applying for our visa, I kind of saw what other people were doing and I took notes without me really asking any questions.
No, it's definitely a source of information.
Yeah.
And that's what Michael was saying. But Angela had more questions like, what about this photo of money? And he said, oh, I forgot my pocket Wi-Fi, so I needed it sent to me. So that was the money that it cost to get it sent.
Which I don't know if he's lying probably, but she's been buying it.
My favorite answer, whether it's a lie or not, outside of the, oh, it was probably a joke about the older woman, was, okay, well, what about the life insurance? And he's like, I didn't do anything with life insurance. That was probably an ad or something. I'm like, that's good. I'm like, that's exactly. Pointing the finger at someone else.
I don't know if Angela was just tired, but she just buys it. She's like, you know what? I appreciate you telling me the truth. I wish you did it before. How, Angela? Whenever he tries to explain something, you just yell at him and you leave.
Yeah.
Even if he tried to explain something to you before, you wouldn't listen.
Yeah. She softened up enough to let Michael sleep in the bed that night. And she goes, you know, I don't want to pull the visa at this point. That would be like ripping the last chapter out of the book. I want to know the ending. I'm like, when did Angela become a poet? I'm like, that's...
I don't know.
It's very poetic.
For all of us knowing the ending, I still think that Michael deserves it. Again, I'm not for scamming. I'm absolutely against it. But this man, 6+ years of obeying to Angela, he might as well just take a look at the U.S.
He deserves something out of it. Right? We'll see how he behaves now that he's here. So, all right, that's Angela and Michael. Before we move on, what do you say we take a quick break, tell you about our sponsors for this episode, and when we come back, we're going to a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll be back in a second.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And we're back.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Teresa. How are things on your side of the foldable table?
They're good. I need more coffee.
You need that coffee to keep us up, keep us going.
I know.
My coffee is reaching the bottom, too.
Maybe we'll get a little more coffee in a little bit.
I thought during the commercial break, you were going to say, let's go get some coffee.
I was going to, and then I forgot.
Hmm. All right. Well, if we need to, we'll go get it when we need to.
Yeah.
All right.
Kobe and Emily.
Let's talk about this wedding.
Yes. Emily is getting ready and she's getting her hair done, doing something with traditional beads. And I love it.
Yeah, she looked on point and they agreed they're not going to see each other until the ceremony, which is a fun thing to do.
I could not do it. We didn't do it.
We did a first look.
We did. We didn't see each other for 3 hours, not the whole night.
Yeah. Well, Emily goes, I'd be attracted to Kobe even if he was wearing cotton candy, or as Teresa calls it, the sweet hair.
Yeah, the sweet hair.
Yeah. even if Kobe was wearing the sweet hair, Emily would be attracted.
Yes. And Lisa came over to chat with her while she's getting ready. And Emily just tells her about what she found out about Kobe. And she's wondering if the friends will come, but hoping if they do come, that they'll come in peace to support them, not to create the drama.
Yeah. Emily put a button on the whole ex story and saying, well,
good, because it was dumb.
Yeah.
Don't dig into the past. I feel like the only time that it's appropriate to have your ex in your life or to mention her or be cordial is if you have kids. Like you need to coordinate, you need to talk to them. Like it just, you cannot go without it, right?
Sure.
But if there are no kids, there is no reason to talk to your exes. Literally, move on.
I also stand by my feeling that Kobe didn't really do anything wrong. He was in another country. Emily was basically a one night stand that turned into this relationship because she got pregnant. It's like, She
were dating before she got pregnant. Like, they were hooking up.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think that was the first night.
I don't know if it was the first night, but I thought it happened awfully quickly. They weren't boyfriend and girlfriend.
No, but they were having fun. I think if anyone should feel bad in this situation, it should be his ex, who he apparently didn't break up with like a normal person. He ghosted her.
She should feel bad? Oh, like she should be mad.
Yeah, like not Emily. Emily shouldn't be upset over this because it's in the past. He ended up being with her, right? He's not with his ex. He ghosted his ex. It's not the best thing to do, but apparently a lot of people do it. So, yeah. It is what it is.
What's in the past is in the past. So then we saw Kobe with his dad, Isidore. They were getting dressed and Kobe's dad was just wondering, where's your friends? Where's Valerie? I'd like to see them. Kobe, and Kobe had to fill him in on the little problem that his friends didn't totally respect Emily because she wasn't respecting the culture. And if they're not going to respect us, well, then just don't come.
How wasn't she respecting the culture? I don't think that was the reason why.
Because the man is the boss in the culture.
Okay.
You are here to take care of Kobe and let Kobe do what he wants to do, and you were being too bossy, Emily.
Equality, people.
Yeah.
They live in the U.S., so they can follow the U.S. rules, and it's okay.
Sure. Follow your own rules, is what I say. Follow whatever rule works for your relationship.
True. And honestly, this whole time, and I keep saying it, Emily's been great. Like, she hasn't done anything that she would, like, be bossy to Kobe, telling him, don't do this, don't do that.
She was like, don't play handball or whatever, I think.
Well, because he was injured.
Yeah.
Like, that was a very good call. Like, I wouldn't allow you to. If you had a freaking knee surgery and you're about to play handball on an asphalt, I would be like, absolutely fucking not. Are you crazy?
Yeah, but
that was just her being concerned about her husband who just had a surgery.
Oh, I agree. I don't think she was out of line.
No.
But that's what the friends were seeing. And like, oh, you let this woman control your life?
Yeah. No, she's been great.
So time for the wedding. And what a wedding it was. There was lasers and music. It was quite the celebration.
Yeah, I thought when they're talking traditions, I thought they're going to bring it like all the way back, like some fire outside, right? Like something like classical music, the African music.
Right. No, they brought it back to the 80s with lasers.
I mean, it looked fun. I would go to that wedding if I was invited.
It was a party from the start. Nobody was sitting. Nobody was checking their watch. Like, oh, is the bride going to show up? I was like, no.
From
the very beginning, dancing, singing. Kobe had a cowtail, which was apparently a flex.
Yeah, it looked like a wig on a stick.
That was, yeah. But it was all a vibe. It was just very fun and uplifting and loving.
And all the family came and he was just happy to see everyone.
Yeah. When Emily rolled up with the group of women, it was a little reminiscent of like a New Orleans second line when they're like parading through the streets. Like it was very celebratory.
Well, they danced into the room, which was great. Yeah. And Kobe's like, damn, Emily looking good, which she did.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, she had a cup of wine that she danced over to Kobe and gave him the wine.
The palm wine.
The palm wine.
Yeah.
And then Kobe and Emily went and kneeled down in front of Father David, and like David launches into this prayer.
Well, he was tasked with a prayer. He went on YouTube to learn how to do that.
Heavenly Father, bless these two with eternal happiness. Many children in a big house, but bless them with a big house first. Look at him. He's getting a laugh line. He's got an applause break in there.
I mean, they already have two kids and they just had a third one. So they do need a house.
Yeah. So David knocked it out of the park. And then we see Valerie. Kobe's friend Valerie rolling.
Whenever you say Valerie or they say Valerie, I think of the song Valerie from Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Was that originally hers?
I think so.
I thought there was someone else who did it. But
I thought it was hers first. Anyways.
Anyway, Kobe's father spoke a little bit. He was thankful for everyone who came and he's very proud of Kobe and he was loving everything. And then Emily and Kobe stood up and the MC says, we now want to present the best friend of Kobe.
And Valerie takes on the mic. Emily's nervous and that's where it ends.
Yeah, he was like, I know because of some difficulties and worries we had, we thought the welfare of our brother being with a white woman, it wouldn't be able to make our brother very happy. And we're like, oh boy, where's this going?
I think it's going to be positive.
I think so.
I think it would be really a shitty move from Valerie to like ruin their wedding, especially seeing that your friend's happy. Come on.
Yeah.
His friend was Michael, then I would be like, go for it, Valerie. Ruin this wedding. Stop it. Stop it while you can.
Yeah. Okay. So I went to our music correspondent, Google.
Okay.
And Valerie is a song by English indie rock band, The Zootons.
Originally?
Yeah. Then it was later covered by Mark Ronson with lead vocals provided by Amy Winehouse.
True. Okay. I thought it was their OG.
No. Okay. It's the Zootons.
Good song.
It's the Zootons. All right. Let's move on.
Let's move on to Ashley and Manuel.
What is that smell? Please, woman, open the windows.
Ashley's saging the house. Manuel, especially Manuel, because he just brings bad energy lately.
He needs $300, but he's not telling her why, and that's upsetting her, and the energy is off, and so we need a sage to get things back to normal. And Manuel's just like, you know, I have a family. I have a mom. I try to take care of them whether they need it or not, and $300 is not a lot of money.
Well, I honestly am tired of Manuel saying this because, dude, sure, send money to family. They discussed a certain amount with Ashley prior that they would be sending monthly that she can afford. But if you want to send more, you need to find a job first and then discuss that. Like, she cannot be funding her coffees, her witchiness, and take care of your entire family.
Yeah, her magic witch IVs, all the sage she goes through. But here's the real deal. Here's what really irritates me about the whole thing. The way Manuel tries to act like he's so generous such a good guy, but with someone else's money.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, you know, I try to take care of my family, whether they need it or not. Yeah. With someone else's money. You're not that generous if it's someone else's money you're giving.
And him saying, oh, $300 is not enough. I mean, it's not enough. It's not a lot. Bro, if someone is a sole provider taking care of two people, $300 is a lot of money.
$300 is a lot of money in America. A lot of people live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're just taking it without reason as far as Ashley's concerned because you're not giving her a reason.
Yeah, and I get it. You want to help your family. I understand, but I would want to know exactly what bank account are your money going to? And okay, if he's telling me if like this is for mom and my kids to get food and to pay rent because they don't have money, I'll be like, okay, let's break it down, see how much they need. If your second cousin needs money to go and grab a beer with his friend, then why are we paying for all this?
Yeah, and you can give me shit for this. I'll take it. But so many people say, well, it's his culture. It's his culture that you take care of the family. Okay, well, what about Ashley's culture? Why do we always just have to go with the one culture? Why you are now in a international relationship, you have to blend and balance cultures.
Yeah. And again, she agreed to a certain amount. He just keeps coming, asking for more, not telling her where the money goes, which that's my issue. Let's say if my parents needed money, they would never ask. Well, let's say they did, right? I would never just be like, hey, John, sending my parents money, but I'm not going to tell you why. Like, I don't think that's fair. I would be like, hey, my parents need to buy something and something they can afford this month. This is the amount that's going to help them, right?
Yeah. Like communication, exactly, honesty, transparency.
And he is not transparent and he's lying about something. And I still feel like he's pocketing some of this money.
He's doing something. Ashley's like, I already gave you $1,000 and then you changed the bank password and didn't tell me why. Like if that's not a red flag, if that's not sketchy, I don't know what is.
And he says, well, I changed it because you kept withdrawing money and like buying coffee. Why was she withdrawing money from your bank account? Because that's the money she gave you.
Yeah, like, that
doesn't make any sense.
That response didn't make any sense.
No, but that's just shady.
Yeah, so they're going at it. And Ashley's like, I want to be part of the family. I want to help the family. But if I don't know what the money's for, I can't help you. I don't feel comfortable. And Manuel's just like, all right, well, if you're not going to help me, I'm just going to go back to Ecuador. Crazy.
That is crazy. And Ashley does not want to be threatened like this. It's triggering. So she just walks away.
So much for the sage. That really helped.
Yeah, that really helped. Because Manuel opened the window. It's like, you got to let it sit.
It's got to marinate in the walls a little bit. Mm-hmm. I understand. From sage to rage.
Ooh.
Yeah. This is the title of my latest autobiography.
Well, Ashley isn't pissed enough because she's going to pick up a cake for Manuel's birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, but if he doesn't get his act together, I'm going to throw it in his face. Take a page out of Angela's book, throw it in his face.
She meets her sister Sienna there, so they're chatting a little bit. And she obviously is telling her about the whole money thing, how she gave him a grand and $300, and he's still not telling her what it's for. So Sienna suggests they call Jonathan because maybe Jonathan can share something.
Well, first though, the baker's like, oh, the cake's not ready yet. We need a few more minutes. And Ashley's like, well, if it's not ready yet, can you change the verbiage on the cake? Is it too late to make it say like, fuck off, Manuel, instead of happy birthday? What a solid relationship.
Solid.
This is an adult, healthy adult relationship.
Yeah.
The baker's like, we're going to need like 48 hours for any major changes like that. It's like buying a gun. It's like, you got to wait. We need a waiting period. Are you sure you want to put fuck off on your husband's cake? We're going to need a waiting period on this to make sure you final answer want to do that.
Also, why are you buying him a cake? Just get him something from Publix, but it's New York, from Stop and Shop, and be done with it.
You're such a pro of regional supermarkets. You know what he would really want?
What?
How much did the cake cost?
Oh, yeah.
Just give him the cash.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, custom cakes from tiny bakeries are usually very expensive.
Yeah.
Because they're like custom and they're special. If you go to Publix or Big Y or Stop and Shop, you can get a cake for $30.
Look at this. Yeah. IGA, everybody's, Shaw's. Yeah, if he's mad that you spend $4 on coffee.
ShopRite, okay.
ShopRite. If he's mad that you spend $4 on coffee, he's going to be pissed if you spent like $40 on a...
That's going to be more if it's a nice cake, yeah.
Yeah. So Sienna thinks Manuel is using Ashley and has a secret agenda. And it's like, you're being blind about this whole thing. You need to talk to someone. And that someone is Jonathan.
Yes. Yeah, so they give him a ring. He picks up and Jonathan has no poker face.
No.
He's like, I think he sends the money to his family and maybe his ex, his baby mama.
It's like, wait, what? He's in contact with his ex?
Big news for Ashley.
Hell to the nah, to the nah, nah, nah.
I feel like she really wants to change what's on the cake.
Yeah. Well, Manuel has always said, I don't talk to my ex. And so now that this is coming out, this is very bad.
But again, it's a dumb thing because you have kids together.
Exactly.
I would not buy it if you had kids with someone prior to me, that would suck. But if you did and you told me, I don't talk to my ex at all, now I'll be like, how do you communicate with the kids?
Yeah, you're a bad father.
Yeah. I would almost want you to communicate.
Right. Right. So now Ashley's pissed. She's fired up. She's freaking out in the car, of course, because Ashley loves to freak out in cars. She needs to start taking Ubers or Lyft or something.
She's a dangerous driver.
Very dangerous.
Guys, if you go up to Rochester, just like watch out.
Yeah. So she barges into the house. Manuel's watching soccer. And Ashley just slams the laptop shut. And it's like, you have one chance. Be honest with me. I heard when we were in New York, you met with someone to send money to your kids. And Manuel just starts laughing.
Yes. And he's like, I guess you talked to Jonathan.
Yeah. And Ashley's like, call him. Like, why don't you call him? Let's get to the bottom of this.
And so he does. And he puts him on speakerphone.
He's like, am I on speaker?
Well, Manuel is telling him, well, why did you say that? That's not true. And Jonathan ends it with, you need to talk to Ashley and tell her the truth, which is like, oh boy.
Jonathan goes, tell her the truth. And then he hangs up. Didn't Manuel hang up on Jonathan and go like, I am telling the truth. Hung up on Jonathan before Jonathan could say anything else. And then just keeps laughing, which is so telling. Like when a lot of people, when they get caught or when they're uncomfortable or nervous, they laugh.
Yeah.
That's a very big tell for people.
It is. And I don't understand how, like, Manuel is married. He has all these secrets. He doesn't understand what it means to be married. Why is he married? Why is she married to him? She must be so unhappy. Like, they always fight. They don't even fight and bang anymore because they fight so much that they probably cannot bang that much.
True. They just fight now. Not good. Not good. Let's see. I'm not hopeful for those two.
I feel like if Ashley stays with him, she's going to go mad.
Oh, she already has.
Yeah.
It's absurd. All right. Next.
Patrick and Thais, we are at the bar with the friends. Then John just cursed one of them off.
When you act like that, I'm going to call you a slut. Eye for an eye. Eye for an eye, man.
And the friends leave. They're mad. And Thais is mad at John for acting like this, but Pat is taking his side saying, well, they came here and they just started bashing John, telling him that he's a bad guy. Like, what did he do? And John says, yeah, I never wanted Patrick to cheat on you. Like, I've never done anything like that.
Yeah, I'm siding with Patrick and John on this one. They came there, meet the friends, have a night out, and then John just got berated the whole time.
Like, John being John has nothing to do with Thais and Patrick. Like, it's not like John was trying to sabotage the relationship. John is just being John. But that's true. He never tried to set up Patrick on a date or anything. Like, he was just being John.
Yeah. She's trying to say I made my brother a whore. Never tried to make my brother a whore. It's like, yeah, that's true. That's true. And apparently Natalia's been cheated on, so she's sensitive about these things.
Yeah, but Patrick didn't cheat on Thais.
No, I mean, he kissed a girl.
Yeah, but they weren't. It's hard to do this when you are a long distance something that you hooked up with someone you haven't defined the relationship. I think that's the American way that a lot of people don't understand, that I didn't understand at the beginning. But unless you have a talk with someone about like what's going on, then you are kind of free to date.
It's called dating.
Yeah.
And unless you're exclusive, until you define that you're exclusive, then it's looked at as okay to talk to other people and kiss other people.
But I'm telling you, in other cultures, that doesn't really happen. Like, You kind of define it on date one in a way. Like, if you date someone, you date someone.
I mean, I can see both sides of the argument. Like, if I'm going to date you, I should focus on you and find out whether it's going to work or not. And then if I decide it's not going to work or not, move on. Like, it probably does take longer to figure out if that person's the right person for you. If you're dating a handful of other people, it's like, focus all your attention on that one person. You'll get the answer quicker, and then you can either move on or not.
True. But like, you went on dates before I went on dates. Like, you can tell based on the first date, you can tell that you like or dislike this person. Someone, it can be to the point that maybe let's hang out again, but I don't think so.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm taking Patrick and John's side on this one. The John Thais alliance was short-lived. We thought this was going to be like a nice coming together of those two on this trip, but
yeah, that was it.
That's in the past. All right, more drama.
More drama with
Texas.
Sophie and Rob. We're still at Rob's house. Claire is still there.
Claire's trying to work her evil magic. She's trying to break Sophie and Rob up. And all you need to hear is when she says, by the way, I have nothing to do with this decision. It's like, if you have to say that, oh, by the way, I have nothing to do with Sophie leaving. If you have to say that, you clearly had something to do.
And we all know you do. Rob knows you do. You make comments in front of Rob how much he sucks. It's not even like, oh, Sophie told me that you talk shit about me. You talk shit about him in front of him.
Rob the knob. Like, you nicknamed him.
Yeah, but then Claire's trying to almost like redeem herself, saying, you both look so sad. It's like, oh. It's like, you should be happy about this, Claire.
Yeah, apparently the only evidence Claire has of Rob kind of being shitty towards Sophie is that Sophie called Claire once and was hungry and Sophie ate a cereal bar. And then Rob got mad at her for eating a cereal bar.
Because that's the only easy snack before work. And it probably was the last one. It's like, bro, go to Costco and get a big box.
Yeah. But just word of advice, it's never about the cereal bars. So there's obviously some other things going on there. And Rob made it about the cereal bar, but it's never about
which
the cereal bar.
Which is ridiculous because you share your household. Like, you share your food.
Yeah, you share your craft beer with your father-in-law.
You were a little mad, but just a little bit.
I wasn't mad. I was just
thirsty. You were like, oh, your dad really did drink all my craft beers?
Yeah.
He loved it.
I rearranged that fridge being like, there must be one left, right? He must have left one.
Carol found them all.
He sure did. So, long story short, Sophie had enough. She leaves. After Rob's like, you need to figure out if I'm the person you can be with or if you're going to be mad at me all the time. Sophie's like, all right. And she left. But Rob chased her down. And Sophie's like, you need to think. You need to think about what you can do to change and be accountable. And then she used the stuffy to like show her emotions. She was like, this could be us or this could be us.
I mean, she is 24, so.
Still.
Yeah, Rob says he's committed because they're married, but if they weren't married, he would be out. But
wrong answer.
Yeah.
Rob.
Yeah. But he says, if things are not going to improve, I need to start thinking about life without Sophie because I can't work like this. And it's true. Like, they're married. They didn't even live together most of the time. So this is not marriage. This is not even dating.
They need to stop thinking about life without each other and start thinking about life without Claire. Because right now, Claire is the real issue.
Yes, and it seems like she is here to stay.
Yeah. Yeah,
for now.
I guess so. We know she had a little dust up with the law.
Yeah, at least they got rid of her for a few days.
For a few nights. All right. Last
but not least, a little sad segment at the end with Alexi and Lauren and Dad leaving for Israel.
It was very emotional.
It was, and it was especially because it hit me even before Alexi said it. They have two homes. They're Israeli-Ukrainians, the two countries in Europe that are in war.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And I can't imagine saying goodbye, bringing a parent to the airport, knowing you're sending them back.
Yeah, it honestly, it really hit me. I hate to say it, but it's like, let's say if they were Israeli-Italian, right? Like they can go to Italy and be safe.
Yeah.
But they're two homes, the two countries, they're in war currently and it's really bad. Those are their two homes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an emotional segment for sure. Alexi brought Dad to the airport. He like popped into a wheelchair and was whisked away. I didn't know.
I keep telling my parents to do that because they can't walk well. My dad has this whole freaking pride about him that he's not going to be rolled around the airport. He rather gets there 4 hours before.
Yeah.
Speaking of my dad, guys.
Oh, boy. Update.
My dad, the guy who just got a couple years ago, got a new kidney. He is struggling with his leg. He cannot walk well. He went through like a middle or post-60 crisis and he bought a scooter.
not a scooter, like a Razor scooter.
No, like a Vespa-ish type of motorcycle.
A moped.
Yeah, he bought
Carell
a moped.
Got a moped.
Which scares me because my dad can barely walk. Like, if he rides this thing, which he's planning on riding to work and everywhere, if he falls off of it, he won't be able to stand up.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Oh, I know. I know, Teresa. You don't have to tell me. I thought it was a bad idea when you floated it by the first time. And I thought it was a really bad idea when I saw the photo of the moped in the driveway.
He's really proud of it.
Yikes. It's not good.
It's not good. I don't know what he's trying to do.
Oh.
Hold on to
his youth, I guess.
He turned 60 a couple months ago. We flew there, celebrated with him. And then he's like, he was supposed to buy a bass. He got money from my mom and grandma to buy a new bass, the instrument. And then he's
Well, what else would it be?
Well, I think some people might not know.
A bass?
Yeah. Hmm. And then he was like, fuck it, I have a good one. I'm just going to buy a moped.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all people, my dad on a moped, he's wild.
Yeah. Well,
stay
tuned for the adventures of Carell.
He's very happy about it.
Good. I'm glad he's happy at least.
Yeah.
Your mom, probably not so much.
Not so happy.
No. All right. Well, that's the episode. Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah.
What an episode.
You guys are the best.
You guys are awesome. Thank you guys for being here. If you want to hear more, if you want to hear us talk about Love and Paradise and very soon The Other Way, the new season of The Other Way, get on the Patreon, get on the Supercast, patreon.com/MeredithReality, MeredithReality.supercast.com. It is coverage that starts at the Cousins Club level. If you want video of that podcast, it's of course at the Family Affair level. It's all ad free. The Patreon, there's a special chat group. It's a fun time. It's a good time. So check it out, Patreon and Supercast. Also, make sure you're following us on Instagram at MeredithRealityPod.
Yes.
Message us there, call in, share your thoughts. Also, make sure you're following the podcast. So easy to do. Just look down and smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's as hot as the whole Emily Kobe wedding because it was a hot party.
Yeah, hot party. And you better not ruin it, Valerie.
Yeah.
Don't ruin it. And last but not least, if you haven't left the review, please do. We're suckers for a little bit of love.
Yes.
If you leave a 5-star review and you write something, we'll read it on this podcast right here.
Correct.
All right. That is it. Thank you guys for listening. I have said it all. Sure have. Means we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Make a wrong move and Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish your outdoor wood projects with Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Australian Timber Oil is an exterior stain that provides maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency, making it ideal for decks, siding, outdoor furniture, and more. Save big money at Menards on Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.